Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Vocab. And today, we have a very special guest and possibly our upcoming co-host, Jimmy.
Hello, I'm Jimmy, and I'm very happy to join this session with John.
Fantastic. And welcome, Jimmy. For those of you who are wondering, why Jimmy is joining us as co-host is because we are looking to expand our topics for Vocab. And Jimmy is one of my dear friends, and also he is an HR solutions provider. So he's been in business for a long time, and he's worked with a lot of HR specialists, and they sell solutions to HR, you know, helping them with payroll, helping them setting it up and, you know, linking their payroll system into their ERP systems and provide systems to help HR to get the best out of their talent. Isn't that right, Jamie?
Before our episode starting, and I want to tell you guys, if you like our episode, please give us the 5 stars on the comments and subscribe and sharing to your colleague and your friends if our episode and our show is really give your help to you. And I'm Jamie, and I want to use a few minutes to introduce myself. I'm very happy and I'm very lucky. I have the more experience to work with HR specialist, and our company, my service company, also provide the HRMA solution. It's like the system to figure out the routine process for the payroll, and also includes the payroll outsourcing.
I see.
So if you are HR and you are also looking it, please contact with me. I can give you some great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Great, perfect solution to you. And also maybe the price.
We'll talk about the price later, Jamie.
Okay, yeah. We can go back to our topic.
Fantastic.
I know, John, your major is also human resources, right?
Yes. First bachelor's degree was in human resource management that my parents didn't really enjoy. They thought back in the day, HR or human resource management, a degree that's related to HR, they see as HR would be something of an administration role, nothing strategic. So my parents were very, very against me taking up the degree. But, after I finished my degree, they started to understand what it's all about. So HR is really a very broad topic, and it can get very strategic, especially in terms of managing talent in the 21st century. But in the good old days, HR was not seen that way. It's just pure admin. It's sort of, do everything job. Right? One size fits all job, anybody can do it. Nothing special about it. You don't require a specialist. But in today's day and age, like Jimmy now is a HR solutions provider. Yes. So not only we need HR specialists, but the tools for HR are also in abundance. We have developed a lot of different tools and solutions to help the HR specialist to manage the talents in the company, to get every last cent and every last energy out of your talent that you're hiring. Because talent is the most expensive part
Correct.
Your company expenses.
Yeah, but I must say, in the future, I think in the trend, HR also going to be the strategy group, because now the company would like to, I think company give the function of HR is for culture creation. And also give more communication. It like to be the bridge with the employee and the company. So it's a very important role.
Yeah. For sure.
Very. So
the definition of HR has expanded over the years. It's not a very narrow definition like before. It's expanded a whole lot. So what Jimmy and I are doing is we're going to expand Vocab for you guys, for the 15 Minutes fam too. So we're piloting this episode to see if you guys would like us to expand into the life at work, career, and anything about the workplace related topics in Taiwan and around the world. So vocab is where we speak in full English, and myself and my co-host will speak in full English and explain, and we will go over some of the relevant topics of these days. So today, as Jimmy mentioned, well, you gave it away earlier a little bit there, Jimmy. We're going to be talking about an article that I sort of read up, and also somebody that you, Jimmy, and I both admire a lot. We're going to be talking a little bit about Elon Musk.
Yes.
We admire him for all the work he's done, the entrepreneurial work, you know, starting companies after companies after companies, changing the world. But recently, his entrepreneurial spirit turned against him. He became very entrepreneurial. He became very much hardcore, and he was very, very hard on office cultures. After he acquired Twitter, he was also very harsh towards his employees, his talents. So that, I think, for Jimmy and myself, for us, it's a shocker.
Yeah, I'm so surprised. I'm so surprised he firing 75% of Twitter's employee, because this is the termination and must lay off. And I think they have the X case. It's like a Tesla, I think, in China or in somewhere, but in America, in California, they have the I think in every world, it's also increased Taiwan. If you want to must lay off, you need to give the notice to government of the label.
Yeah.
So you can't just write an email. Hey, I'm very to your effort. Okay, bye bye. It's like that.
You can't. But he did it anyway. So this article, Jimmy, you know, you and I both read this article, and the title, I find it one of the best titles ever. Like, you will know what's going on. The title says, firing 75% of Twitter's employees may be a bad idea, but it's a legal one. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I thought it felt a little illegal to me to email your staff middle of the night to tell them that they're done. They've gotten fired. And the word you used back there, Jimmy, was mass firing, right? Or mass termination. The word mass mean in large quantity.
Huge. Big.
Like very big.
Yeah, very, very big.
Yeah, yes. So 75% of your company. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to destroy this company? I mean, you're not saving the company by firing 75% people.
I think in the business side, business angle is correct. Because
you think so? I don't think so.
No. I tell you why. Because Twitter faced the challenge in the financial. So that's why they need to think how to decrease. It's the dangerous.
It's risks, financial risks. Yeah, yes, understand. Remember, beginning of this episode, we also said talent constitute a very large part of your expenses in the company. So I do understand. But hear me out. Twitter is a software company.
Yes.
Run by software engineers. And when you fire 75% of your software engineers, you have no company. It's not a company. It's a 25% startup.
Yeah, so, you mean the core is already gone.
Yeah, your core staff. You know, if today this company was a startup, if Twitter was just a startup that's been around for 2 years, that started from a garage, right? I mean, you fire 75% of your staff means you fire two people.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not a big deal.
I agree in the business side, but in the legal side and also employee side, I'm not agree. And the more worse is that they fire the employee on the Twitter. It's the post on the Twitter.
You got to at least do it via email. You can't line text somebody today and say you're fired. Done. That's not legal in Taiwan. That's not how it works.
Yes.
There's a termination procedure for employee termination.
In the United States, if you want to termination somebody or must termination, you need to give a notice before 60 days ahead.
Right, at least. At least. 60 days.
At least.
It really depends. I think with labor law, it's pretty similar from country to country. Even in Taiwan, you are required to give notices. Yeah. Not only in the States, in South Africa, in Australia, that's how labor law works.
Okay. In Taiwan, the normal layoff is before 10 days. And but Elon Musk, the layoff, you need to discuss with the, I think you also need to provide notice to the
Labor Bureau.
To labor, the government, and yes, also discuss the process and which date is the proper,
yes,
is for employee. I think there's a discussion in the communication.
And in certain cases, you have to talk about employee placement. For example, you have to help them find jobs.
Yes, or give them time to find a job.
Yes.
So Airbnb is the great case, I think.
Airbnb
give them the 1 year healthy insurance, help them to pay, and also provide the material like the Mac. You can keep your MacBook to find a job.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a great case.
So it's like to help your employees to land softly. You're not trying to take everything away from them. So by leaving the laptops with them, by giving them still health insurance until they find a new employer, I mean, those are ways to help them, to help your staff in times like this. Yes, you want your talent to also understand financial difficulties of a company. But this very harsh way, middle of the night Twitter message way of firing 75% people, I think most people disagree with Elon Musk when he does things like this. You know, it puts him under fire and people question his motive. Why is he doing that? He is already the richest man on earth. He doesn't need to prove that he is powerful.
Maybe also Mars.
Yes. Once we get to Mars, you'll be the richest man on Mars, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very, very mind-boggling. Like, it's very hard to understand why he constantly, in front of the public, he needs to prove, even at the company level, he needs to prove that he's the boss. He is the boss. There's no need to prove that.
Yes.
So to me, I think, you know, the 75% and this whole procedure that he has gotten himself into, I feel it's more like a statement to the whole world. Like, I'm the boss. I told you I'm gonna buy Twitter, and I bought it, and I'm going to do everything I can to turn it around. But by firing 75% of your staff, I don't think that's called turning it around.
But I want to say more correct thing in this case. Because Elon Musk, the first way is to fire the C-level.
Okay. So I got the paragraph for you. So Jimmy, I'm going to read the paragraph for everybody. And you know, you can come back and talk about this. So in this article, I'll give you guys the link down below. And in this paragraph, Musk cleaned out the C-suite on his first day. So he fired the CEO, Parag Agarwal, CFO, Ned Segal, and General Counsel, Vijaya Gadde. Okay, so, you know, top talent, you can hear, because they sound very Indian or Pakistani. And
top,
you know,
executive.
Yeah, top. These are the C-level executives. So let me continue with the paragraph. This level of employee often has, and in this case did have, okay, so the CEO, CFO, and the general counsel that got fired on the first day have employment contracts with what is commonly known as golden parachute clauses. So this gives them a large amount of money if they lose their jobs, unless they do something to violate the contract. And for these three people alone, the total amount of their golden parachute incentive is around $122 million.
Gosh.
So on the first day, when he fired these three people, he had to pay $122 million
and
to these people.
You know the normal employee, how much the severance to them? 3 months.
Just 3 months, right?
Yeah. And I think not full package. I think only basic salary.
Okay.
For my understanding.
So you see, for all these C-level executives, or what in short we also say the C-suite, they have different employment requirement and responsibilities and so on and so forth. So when they were headhunted or hired, they could negotiate the package. So Golden Parachute was part of their package. Now, you can fire these people, but think about the $122 million that goes to these three people could have been used to pay the 75% of the rest of the software engineers that you're going to fire.
And or you can help them to find another better job.
Yeah.
And I think we need to tell everyone what's the Golden Parachute, right?
Yes. Let's talk about Golden Parachute a little bit. So by the word Golden Parachute, right? So it's gold means money. Parachute is the parachute that save your life from falling in the sky. So you jump off a plane. So once you open your parachute, there's a little umbrella-looking parachute that will help you glide in the sky. Okay, so to give you a soft landing, I think that's the point. Okay, parachute will help you glide in the sky and give you a soft landing. So it won't be a hard drop to the ground.
Yeah, so Golden Parachute consists of the huge benefit given to top executive.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think we, for most of us, I've never seen the Golden Parachute clause in my employment contract, ever.
Yes.
I've never seen that. I've never been able to negotiate one. Let's put it this way.
Yeah.
But that's why I failed to, you know, Jamie, that's why I failed to understand why he has to be so harsh with the remaining talents. He doesn't motivate them. He's the richest man on earth. By firing them, he's not going to make any more money than he is already. So he should just take a couple of months to figure out who's real talent and who's not. But no, he decides, hey, nobody's talent here.
Yeah, that's the very worst way to, if you bought a new company and you're taken over and you want to let them to go to the moon, but it is waste.
You're not motivating them.
It's not a good one. It's no motivation.
So
no motivation.
So Jamie, you know, in business, we talk about carrot and sticks, right? So the analogy is to drive a donkey forward, you got to use carrot to incentivize, okay, to entice the donkey, or you have to use a stick to beat the donkey. So it's a mix of carrot and sticks. But for him, it's just sticks. For Elon Musk, it's just sticks all the way. Day one, day two, day three, it's just sticks. Where's the carrot?
He didn't give carrot.
No carrot. But he's the richest man on earth. I mean, what's another 50 million to share with these guys to drive them, to motivate them? Or, you know, spend another 50 million to get, let's say, headhunt some guy, some professional HR firm to come and assess,
correct.
Right? To assess the situation, to assess the structure of the firm and give him an idea of, okay, like, was his understanding correct in terms of, because he's run PayPal, he's run, you know, hardware and software firms, right? He's run car companies. So, you know, although he knows different types of companies, but he doesn't understand every company culture. And you can't switch company culture just like that. Mm-hmm. It's not that simple. So another paragraph I want to share with you, Jimmy, is the next paragraph says, the most important contract or contractual clause the little, in terms of labor law that was mentioned earlier in California is the WARN Act, WARN Act.
Yes.
Okay. So the workers, it's called the Workers Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act. In Taiwan, I don't think we have such a fancy name for something like this. Okay. But it's part of labor law. So in California, the WARN Act, this Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act, says if you terminate 50 or more employees in a period of 30 days, you either have to provide 60 days notice or pay them for the 60 days. Okay. So, Jimmy, what did Elon Musk pay the employees? What did you mention earlier? He paid them 3 months.
Yeah, but the notice is before 1 day and no give notice to government.
Exactly. So here's the thing. I pay you 3 months. Sure, that's great. So the notice is 60 days.
Yes.
So either you pay them 60 plus 90. You pay them 150 days to let them go. But now you're sort of in violation of the local Labor Act. then we have a big problem because you put Twitter at not only financial risks, but at legal risk. However, according to this article, we go back to the title, says it's a bad idea, but it's a legal one. So they explain that although it looks terrible in practice, somewhere along the line, Elon Musk worked it out so that it's somewhat legal. Or he can really fire people at will. Okay, any way he wants. Okay, because it's the way the employment contracts are structured in Twitter. So he probably figured this out very early on. So his way of motivating his staff is to beat them with a stick the whole time. Stick, 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 stick. I'm going to lay you off. I'm going to lay you off. I'm going to lay you off because I know I can.
So you want to say the important vocab is the layoff?
No. I think what is important is you got to really look at your employment contract. The clauses in your employment contract.
We mentioned
for the C-suite, you can negotiate the golden parachute clause.
Yes, correct, correct.
You have to add that in to as a negotiation, right? As a leverage for you. You are hired to come and do something drastic to this company, change this company, turn the company over, and you have been assigned like this major responsibility. And not all major responsibilities and major projects do come to fruition. They don't always get successful, right? That's why they negotiate a golden parachute.
Yes.
Because you can't hire me and ask me, hey, John, I know you're talented to turn companies around. I need you to come, but I'm going to fire you whenever I don't like you. So obviously the C-suites have more leverage to bargain. They have more to negotiate with. Whereas your employees, your engineers, it's not just about working at the company that you love, right? I love using Twitter, so I want to work in Twitter. It's not about that. It's about what are they really offering you.
I think in the employee contract, I think it's important is the one is the years. Contract years. The first one is the contract years.
Yeah.
And then the second one is about your basic salary and what kind of allowance you had.
Yes.
Yes. And also another one is because when you face the firing, what's your severance package?
There we go.
I think it's a similar the golden parachute. And you can create your golden parachute is when you discussion with about employee contract.
That's why a lot of people, when they get to the hiring process, and they say, some of my clients too, you know, and I say, hey, you have negotiation rights. And they're like, no, I'm just a staff. What can I negotiate? And I'm like, no, just go through the contract with your hiring manager. Go through the contract. So what do I get on the first day? So when this happens, what happens to me?
Yes.
So understand the full procedure and understand why companies want to hire you. Maybe they want you to not be a talent. They just want you to be a little screw in the machine to keep the machine together.
Yeah, great. Because I must say, my service company, when I joined the first day, they also let me, you need to make sure this the employee contract you agree. And if you have any idea and have any want to discussion, we are open.
Yeah, so it's not about just try to get the job and be a yes man.
Yes.
To every employment contract. You have to really go through the employment contract with whoever is hiring you and discuss why they are hiring you. And what contributions you can and may make in the future, then you get to the point where, okay, what if you guys don't like me and you guys fire me? What will happen to me? Do I have 14 days notice? Do I have 30 days notice? Do I have 60 days notice? What's the norm? How do you deal with firing employees?
Yes.
Some companies are very harsh. Correct. They will tell you straight, look, we will pay you big dollars. We'll pay you big bucks. But when we fire you, it'll be like, you know, any other company. Like, we will fire you without notice. Done. That's it. So if you agree, you sign the papers. If you don't, you negotiate, you talk about it. Yeah, what part you don't like?
The very few severance pay.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah, sometimes maybe have the under table and it's not illegal.
No, well, it's not legal at all. You know, the word under table means it's not legal.
Yes. So the important thing is that you can be the nice guy in the working environment with your colleague, with your manager, with your specialist.
For sure.
But you need to make sure to pack to provide the protection to ourselves and make sure this contract, this description, and this detail you agree. And if it have any risk, you can afford.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's correct.
Yes. I 100% agree with that. The employment contract is something that you shouldn't take lightly. Mm-hmm. Do your homework. Have a read. Sit down with somebody who can help you read the papers.
Yes.
If you don't understand anything, just ask the person who's hiring you. Don't jump the gun. Don't assume things, because a contract, once you sign it, there's no going back.
Yes. Correct. I want to share the one interesting thing is that when I got the contract, I first talk with my wife, because my wife also the HR. Yes. And I let her to help me to review, and we have a discussion and finalize. We agree this contract. So now I'm very happy, and I am very happy to join this company and have the chance to service to different HR.
Right. So in your case, you have your wife to go back to, you know, somebody to sort of read over the contract with you. And obviously, she's also in the HR field. That would be nice. But if you don't have any, you know, family members in HR, go find a friend or go pay an HR specialist.
Yes. Yes.
You know, go.
Correct.
If you guys can or want, there are many HR-related podcasts that you might be able to, you know, ask them a favor for, you know, like invite them and give them a donation or something, and in return get your contract read, you know, by a second pair of eyes. There's so many ways to do this, but if you sign that paper, there's no going back.
Correct.
That's it. No matter how desperate you need a job, you gotta carefully read any papers you sign.
Yes, yes. And now I think, John, we're already over time.
Yes. If you guys like this topic, if you would like me and Jimmy to continue with career-related topics, please do let us know down below or email us at ask15mins@gmail.com. And thank you very much, Jimmy, and I will catch you next week, same time, same place.
Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone.
Cheerio. Bye.
Bye.